The content of this show is subject to contain sensitive language and explicit content intended for mature audiences only. Kind of hoping that we'd get a nice little end of the world after that.
But like live, laugh, toast or bath.
I've considered slipping into a bathtub while blow drying my hair.
Delulu is the Salulu.
I'm back.
That was pure gold. Pure gold. Oh, man. I honestly feel like time has just gone by so fast. Like, I feel like I'm living in a simulation. I don't feel like anything is real anytime I wake up. I know that's literally the definition of disassociating, which comes with mental illness.
You're
But
right.
honestly, I've never felt it to this extent. Like, I blinked and the holiday season was over. Like,
Same.
but it the way that I feel like I'm watching myself from the outside and not in my body, not living this life is baffling. Because I've never felt it to this extent.
It's seriously worse when you have children. It's
I believe it.
insane. Like the days are just together and you don't know what is what and what's next and you never have time for anything. It's insane.
Yeah,
I would
and
rather not be busy. Yeah.
on top of that, never knowing what's coming next. That's always my
Hate
biggest
that.
fear.
Yeah.
That I think that's where my sleeping problems stem from, is the fact that if I have a good day and like I never know what's coming next, what curveball is going to be thrown at me, or if I'm going to wake up the next day and spiral in a way that I had been trying to prevent for so long. It's almost like I feel like my brain feels like I need to keep the day going, keep doing things, and stay awake and just not sleep because I'm scared of what's going to happen
Yeah,
if I
like
fall
you can
asleep.
handle it. Yeah, you can handle it if you're awake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I am in control when I'm awake, and I'm
Mm-hmm.
not when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
And
I'm good.
it really screws with me.
I literally have nothing. I have been boring. I'm doing nothing.
Yeah. Well. I'm glad we're back,
Me too.
They are acting like I made a Kanye West level request or statement. All right. Matthew McConaughey, who is, by the way, for his age, so hot
So
and
gorgeous.
a great actor. That's my mom's celebrity crush.
That's adorable, and I love
Yeah.
that.
We kind of had a little bit of the same taste in men. I guess only when it comes to celebrities, probably. Welcome back to those of you that have been followers of the Trigger Warning podcast, and to those of you that are just now tuning into our podcast for the first time. We welcome you as well, and we are so glad that you are here. Hopefully, we can keep you around. And I guess we are finally delivering you the first episode of season three. This episode was actually supposed to be filmed and aired by the date December 5th of 2024. I can't apologize. We're not even going to apologize. We did come back like we promised, and that's all that matters. The funniest part about this to me, well, there's a couple funny things about this to me. Tori and I discussed that we were going to have to move the air date for the first episode of season three, as much as we did not want to have to do so, hated the idea of it. We just simply did not have a choice. During said discussion, we literally made plans to shoot and launch the first episode of season 3 literally a week after originally planned. So a week after December 5th. Along with that, we planned on making an announcement along with the release of a short pre-season kickoff episode. If you've been following us, you know none of those things happened. Not a single one of those things. I have to point out that once we agreed upon this, Tori and I collectively agreed upon that, making the announcement post and then the kickoff pre-shoot. Tori and I literally did not even speak any further about it from that moment. We literally both actually just let those days come and go without saying a single word to each other about it. Like, oh, hey, are you ready to shoot a week late?
No.
Like, we both just knew in our minds that we come back no matter what, and we probably wouldn't follow through with anything until after the holidays were over. So why even bother? The official air date of this episode is just as much of a surprise to us as it is to you. And I do want to put on record right now that this episode is going to be coming out after New Year. However, throughout this episode, if Tori and I refer to this year, we are referring to the year 2024 and not 2025, just to make that clear. Even though a lot of shit can happen in the very beginning of any year,
you
are
going
to be referring to 2024.
You know, honestly, it's just kind of an oopsies on us. But the holidays are so busy. And if I'm being completely honest, I did not have the mental capacity to do anything other than eat food and watch my children frolic through the house with their new toys. There was nothing else that was going to be able to be done. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and I also had zero mental capacity to make this work before today either.
Mm-hmm.
And it was even so bad that on my dad's side, they moved. So our Christmas celebration is always New Year's Eve on my dad's side and then New Year's Day on my mother's side. That's the way it's been for years. And I worked on Christmas Eve this year. So I told my dad's side of the family they did not have to reschedule it, but they did anyway. So our celebration was just this last Friday. And the day of, Mike says, "What time are we going to your grandma's house?" I look at him and said, "Going to my grandma's house? What do you mean?" And he goes, "Isn't today your Christmas at your grandma's?" He was so baffled in that moment. And I was like, holy shit, you're right. I forgot all about it. So if he didn't say anything and he didn't remember, we wouldn't have been going to that Christmas.
Or like, we rescheduled it just for her.
Exactly. We rescheduled it for her and she didn't show up. And now her name is going to be spelled incorrectly for the rest of her life.
That's what it was. You're right.
Not only are you tuning into the first episode of season 3 of our podcast, you're also tuning into season 8 of my seasonal depression series.
I personally have been on a cliffhanger since season 7, so I'm very excited.
You know, it's always actually just a depressive disorder intertwined with all the other shit that's wrong with us, except the time changes, it gets darker earlier, and we all go completely broke during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like me, you were already completely broke before the holidays came. We just slap that word seasonal on there and it becomes a brand new type of depression.
Yep.
A little festy depressy. No, I actually mark this in my calendar for the first time, and I can't tell you how long, I am seasonal depression free, like depression free all around, not just the festy depressy, but I have no depression symptoms as of right now. Now I need every single person watching or listening to this right now to pray to whatever higher power you believe in, that those words that just came out of my mouth don't end up in the hands of whoever has my voodoo doll to remind them that they forgot to slap me with the cute little festy depressy to end the year with or start the new year off with.
I'm very happy for you because I know you, and that is a personal feat, and I really think that's amazing. Unlike me, I was like big sad 3 days ago, could not figure out why. I'm like, honey, like what's going on? And he's like, I don't know. And then I decided to, you know, wander into my kitchen for another little snacky snack to make myself feel better, and realized I hadn't taken any of my meds for the entire winter break. Not one med.
Tori,
because my schedule has been so messed up with the holidays, like more messed up than the United States government, and I just didn't take anything. I was just like, and then I realized it, and I walked in, and I was like, look at this bottle.
Oh my God, I've been raw dogging it this whole time. Now it makes sense.
And so I am happy to announce that I have been back on my meds.
Thank you. I am glad that you have returned to your regimen.
Mm-hmm.
And your. I love that you said big sad. Big sad.
Big sad.
But please don't do that again.
I will
do
my best.
You're on those medications for a reason. Set an alarm.
I didn't do it on purpose.
I know, but I see that Apple Watch you be slapping all the time when you get notifications. Just set a notification for your medication.
I should do that. I should. But also, my kids were sleeping in, Selena. What was I supposed to do? Not sleep in and then forget about my meds for a week and a half? It's fine.
Take them whenever you wake up. I know there's probably some that are timed, but let me tell you from experience, that doesn't matter that much. It actually really doesn't matter at all, as long as you're taking them. If you wake up, your body's still adjusting to when it's taking it.
It's fine. That I was just trying to like show our listeners what they could do. And that was what I was doing.
I appreciate it because it gave me the opportunity to wake you up and tell you what you should have been doing. And if anybody else did the same thing, what they can do also.
That was my plan all along.
I knew it.
Yep, I know.
This episode today is going to be a soft launch episode for the season. And by soft launch, I mean we're not going to slice open real deep, dark shit on this episode, especially not in the way that we did in the last episode of season 2. By the way, if you are not caught up on our podcast episodes by now, they are available on YouTube, Patreon, and all major podcasting platforms, and they always will be. Many of our show's episodes can be found in video versions on our website under podcast episodes. Under the podcast episodes tab. Correction. A lot has happened in the world since our last episode, and I guess the world is making it too big because really just our country is what I'm speaking on, but that's our world, you know? Obviously, like, a lot has happened, and as much as we'd love to talk about some of those things, shed some light on that, and we know that those things hold so much importance. Believe me, they hold a lot of importance to us just as much as they do to you. During the creation of our show, Tori and I agreed that our show will not have political or religion-based discussions. Our platform is just not built with the room for discussions related to those two topics. We both feel strongly and know the seriousness of what's going on in our country, and we feel strong about bringing awareness to those things, delivering and standing behind facts when it comes to such heavy, controversial topics. We will advocate for, spread awareness, and deliver those facts on our personal platforms or in whatever ways we feel are most appropriate. The world is already such a scary place. We created this show to deliver a safe space for our audiences.
For like a clear and concise version of this, everything is on fire, but we are going to try to make you laugh while also helping you search for the hose.
Exactly. It's what we're here for. That's why we do this. We failed to keep our promise to celebrate Christmas with all of you. We can't go back in time and change this now. Tori, I want you to vomit words all over us to catch us up on everything that's happened and is happening in your life, because we actually took a full but unintended 2-month break.
An update on the last 2 months. Well, my children are growing like weeds, and I'm not well about that. It's really starting to bother me. We got a new kitten. Her name is Phantom Menace. So we're calling her Fanny. So now we have, I know my pet names are always ridiculous. We have our cat, Mootball Feet Long, who we call Moot. Phantom Menace, who we call Fanny. And our dog, Luke. He just got the short end of the stick. I don't know. But I also gave myself bangs during a late night Mentee Bee about a month ago. So that was fun. They turned out pretty well, actually. I kind of enjoy them and I am embracing them. And this morning, my daughters were like, oh, mommy, we want bangs like you. So, of course, I obviously gave them bangs. And I don't know if you've seen the picture I posted yet. They're the cutest things I've ever seen in my entire life. But unfortunately, they look just like me, like a spitting image. It's hopefully they're okay with that, but it's fine. But yeah, they're just looking so grown up, and all three of my kids just had the best Christmas. I could not have been happier with like how they spent Christmas, what happened. And we were all just together for the entire day, and they got to have all of their new things and hang out together. We had family over. It was wonderful. My husband and I bought a new car, so we're not, you know, I no longer have a minivan.
Hold on. I didn't mean, that wasn't what I meant.
Sounds evil.
That's not what I meant. I meant this.
Yeah, so I am no longer driving a minivan like a soccer mom. So that's pretty cool. I'm feeling really not depressy anymore. But it's pretty cool.
Like a baddie.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a baddie, as the kids say. I'm ready for my kids to go back to school. I'm ready for winter break to be over. But how's your life going?
Well, couple things to comment on, you know, as I usually do after you give me some updates. I love when you get new pets because the names that you deliver every single time you have an update on a new pet. Outstanding. Top tier. Top shelf, top level, whatever. Amazing. The bangs, you... At first, when you sent me the first Snapchat of you, when you first did them, I was like, those look good. I'm just a little bit nervous about how she's going to feel tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it can be an instant regret.
It can. Yeah.
You're rocking the hell out of them. I love them so much. I've always thought that your children, your oldest for sure, is a spit, like, your
it's
pictures,
crazy.
The pictures of you as a kid on your mom's wall and on the refrigerator, you could tell me that's your oldest daughter, and I'd say, oh, yeah, I know. It sure is. That's not Tori. And I know that your younger one looks more like Ian, but she's got a lot of your physical appearance qualities too.
She's a little scrappy. I know you love my pet names, but did I ever tell you about our goldfish that the girls named?
Nope.
So tragically, two of them passed away, and that was Goldie and Nemo. Super normal, very normal goldfish names. All we have left now are Tyler and Kitty.
Your
So,
poor
yeah.
dog and your poor fish, they just got the basic ass names when you're over here giving your cats top shelf names,
I
but
know, I know.
screw the other ones, right?
Honestly, though, the fish named Kitty is kind of funny.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
I'll give you that. I'll give
Yeah.
you that one. What kind of car did you get?
Yukon Denali. I know. I
Might
know.
as well be rolling in on Rolls-Royce.
I know. I pull up, to work and I'm
Caddy.
like, who is this?
Cyber car.
Yeah, no, ew, those are icky.
I
But
know.
yeah, I have it exactly. It's very long. And I think if you know me, I'm not a great driver. Okay? I'm not good.
I'm proud of you
And
for the self-awareness and admitting to that.
I'm just not good. Very, very bad driver. Multiple mailboxes have been injured when I've been driving. But this one is very long, and I've been trying to figure out how to park it in the angled parking where I work. And I'm either completely covering the entire sidewalk somehow or in the road. I haven't gotten it yet. So
You know that Facebook page where
I'm gonna end up on it.
who yeah, I don't know who has the time to be doing all that because they're doing too much, but you're gonna end up on there. And I
Absolutely.
can't wait.
I
Love it.
actually thought that about 3 weeks ago when we took our son to get a haircut, and I just whipped in the parking spot. I didn't even care. I had my Starbucks. I was ready to sit in this waiting room and watch him get his haircut. Okay.
You skirt it.
I
Skirt.
just skirt. I get out and he gets out and he looks at me and he's like, "Look at the car. I mean, lines are here. My car's me." And I was like, and all I could think was, I'm gonna end up on that Facebook page. So
That's hilarious. You're gonna, and I can't wait for
I
it.
know, I know.
Speaking of your son, so in our final episode of season two, you got a little bit emotional, and I did internally because, like I said, I was put on some new medications, and
Yep.
that emotion stemmed from being able to celebrate holidays for the first time with your new family member. And I know what he got you for Christmas, and so I'll tell people he saved up his own money and got you podcast equipment, which is so heartfelt and thoughtful that I almost cried when you sent me it on Snapchat. I still didn't cry, and so maybe that medication just doesn't allow that
Maybe.
possibility. I'm okay with that, but that truly warmed my cold heart just a little bit. And how did it go with him with the holidays?
That was the most fantastic holiday, like since I was a child. It was so nice because, like, I got to see my girls open presents. And I know this almost sounds heartless, but, like, I've seen them open presents. They're so provided for. They know they're going to get things that they want and need. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I still love to see the joy on their faces. Like, it's my favorite thing. That is my gift on Christmas. But to watch somebody open gifts, and for the first time, it's things they've actually wanted, and of like, it was just amazing. It was amazing. And having that time together and setting up all of his new things, and he's running back and forth from his room to the living room, and he's trying to get my husband to help him set up new things, and he's freaking out. And we're all so happy. And I look over and realize I hadn't opened any of my presents, not one. because I was just so enthralled in the moment of my kids were all opening their presents and everybody was happy and he's got this whole new gaming setup and he's loving it. The girls got so many things that they did not need, but you know, it's whatever. My daughter actually asked Santa for a box of Velveeta shells and cheese.
I can't. Oh yeah. My. Wow.
So Santa did bring her Velveeta shells and cheese, and I will have to send you the video later on. When she realized that Santa brought her Velveeta shells and cheese, she freaked out. It was amazing. It was so funny.
Lost
well, come
control.
To find out, yeah, she had written a letter to Santa. Wonderful. Great. At school. They read them. The local, like, newspaper posted them on their Facebook page of my daughter reading that she wanted Velveeta shells and cheese from Santa.
This is amazing. This is so amazing. Everything about this is just so amazing. You know I don't have kids, but I would feel the same joy you feel when you're watching your children open up gifts and everything. Mm-hmm. And the way that you explained your new family member, your new son, and how it was just, you've seen your daughters open their gifts and but including him this time and providing him things that he never had the opportunity to be provided with and mm-hmm. actually have somebody follow through and do as they promised. What you explained is exactly what I was thinking. Like I could just picture it. And I told you that episode, you and Ian are so amazing, but I can't say it enough. You're so amazing. And I it just works. It just works so well.
And for the record, in case listeners are like, oh my gosh, why is she calling him her son? It was actually discussed with him what he would like to be called, if we wanted him to be called just by his first name when introducing him to people, or I don't even know what else, but we discussed it with him and he had requested that we refer to him as our child, as our son.
That speaks volumes at, directly related to you and Ian and what you've done for him speaks volumes. And you know that you know how I know his mm-hmm. family.
Yeah.
And so when I was explaining this to my mom and she is able to cry mm-hmm. as opposed to whatever is going on with me, and she had tears when I told her about that, and she was blown away, and she's like, they're doing something that is just such an amazing thing that anybody could do for a child in need of what he needed. So, mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. We didn't want the accolades for it, but we do appreciate them because it's like, okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe we're not, I don't know.
I know.
Going
yeah,
to
I
the
know
downstairs
because
place. I know.
Up until the last episode, you and I wasn't going to do it for you because it's mm-hmm. your life, but you never opened up about it in the way that you did on the last episode of season 2 in a way for people to hear publicly.
Yeah.
What, so you're humbled and you are clearly, and there is no thought in your mind of I'm doing this because I want people to think I'm a good person.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because I want the attention. You, that had been going on. You had had him in your family. And you didn't speak on it the way that you did up until the last episode. And even now, I'm the one speaking more on it. So it just, again, speaks volumes to you and Ian and who you are as people and parents. I love my mom, but is there room at your house?
I mean, Ian has told me I'm not allowed to bring any other animals or children.
Well, I don't fall into those categories.
So then I think that's fine. We still have a spare room.
Okay. I'll let Mike know as soon as we're done shooting.
You're invited.
To answer your question on how my life is going, I haven't done shit, so I'm glad that you had enough to fill up that time gap for us.
You're welcome.
Obviously, you specifically know that that isn't true. When we ended season 2, I made it pretty clear that I had no idea how I had yet to fall off the edge of the cliff that I had been standing on for months throughout the course of this year. I had one foot slipping off the edge of that cliff while somehow managing to shift the weight to the other leg that was still holding me up. This year was a very difficult year for me, and I know my emotions haven't expressed that upon delivery, but seriously, it has been a very difficult year for me. And quite literally, the last 3, almost 4 years have been seriously difficult years for me in summary. I had been absolutely terrified that I was going to fall back into a major depressive episode, no matter how hard I was trying to prevent that from happening. I cannot tell you how in the hell I managed not to fall, other than having to remind myself over and over that I did not want to be in that place again, and that I fought too damn hard for too damn long to keep myself from living through and having to pull myself out of that type of hell. I'm still at a point in my life where I don't even know what point I'm at. I just know I'm at a point, and that means something. I don't know what it means. I just know it means something. During our break, I started bartending. I had actually been pretty eager to gain bartending experience for a while, and recently I was just provided with the ideal opportunity and the perfect bar to do just that. Even though I had been wanting the experience, for me, actually taking that step to start bartending was a huge step outside of my comfort zone. I have been out of the service industry for over 9 years now. On top of that, I've worked exclusively from home for over 3 years now. The hardest adjustment to stepping into this type of service industry job has definitely been the hours. The one thing I've talked most about this year have been my sleeping issues. So yeah, why the hell not get a bartending job and really just give up on the entire idea of sleeping altogether, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
Also, up until Christmas, I had been completely sober of alcohol consumption since my birthday, May of 2024. And that's not because I had an alcohol problem. Probably had a little bit more of a problem than some people who consume alcohol, but it wasn't a serious problem. It was alcohol that had a problem with me. I'm a freak about drinking my calories, and after drinking, I would always swell up, like retain water in my hands really bad, and just feel extremely bloated. And I significantly decreased my alcohol consumption months, and I would even go as far as to say maybe a whole year prior to completely quitting back in May. And that's because I just didn't really see a reason for it anymore. I'm always a designated driver if my husband and I go out and do something, and I just trust myself to be able to find my boundaries at this point and know that I can't go over a certain limit. And I would babysit my alcoholic beverages as if I was being paid to do so. I never did plan on completely being sober forever. So on Christmas Day, I did consume alcohol again for the first time since I quit back in May. I am a sucker for those holiday beverages. As soon as I finished my drink, I felt the immediate need to detox my entire body or force it back out of my body in order to get rid of the calories I had just consumed. But that's just my eating disorder talking. It's in the room with us right now.
It is, it is.
As somebody that was both completely sober, doesn't even step foot into the bar scene much at all anymore, I'm sure it really makes a lot of sense why I would choose to be a bartender. Honestly, it has been a lot of fun, and I really mean that. It was a necessary step out of my comfort zone. It's a tough industry, and starting at an established bar, which you have no other choice but to start at an established bar, but with zero experience was incredibly nerve-wracking, but so worth it nonetheless. I do want to stay on record who I am as a bartender and who I am otherwise are very different. Like, major emphasis on the word very, and I would go as far as to say unbelievably different. It makes borderline personality disorder, that diagnosis, sound a little too accurate. I am excited to announce I will be starting a new and much anticipated position after we welcome the new year. This is a position I've been waiting to step into since April. It's finally official and finally happening for me. And like I said, I've been waiting since April for this to happen, and I've talked about all of the curveballs and my destination being rerouted multiple times, but it's finally driving me to the spot that it was always meant to drive me to. I am not impressed on how long it took, but it happened. My father rang in the new year by proposing to his now fiance, and I say fiance because yes, she obviously did say yes. And I am over the moon excited about this because I have never even heard my dad mention the idea of ever getting remarried. In fact, he has said he would never get remarried. And my father and I are really close. So I know he really didn't have intentions of ever getting remarried. But he finally found the right person. He deserves this kind of happiness that he has found with his now fiance. And this is probably the only woman that could ever put up with the person that he is. He's stubborn, but they have so much fun together. And when he came in to see me while I was bartending and said, "I have to show you something," showed me the ring, and I said, "So you're ready for that step?" And he said, "I am." And I didn't give like, I realized later looking back, I didn't give like this super excited response, but it was, I didn't because it felt right. Like it felt like, yeah, okay. That is meant to happen. So he didn't notice because he's
He's
oblivious
a
to many things.
dad.
He's a dad that, well, that was your dad, not my dad, that thought we've
Yeah.
been together since diapers.
You're right.
While we're on the topic of engagements, my brother-in-law, my husband's twin brother, who's the person that guest appeared on our show for the last episode of season one, got engaged as well. My heart is starting to feel a little less cold after this season of engagements. As opposed to my father's decision to propose, I actually did see this one coming. I was just counting down the days, and I'm so glad that the time has finally come. And it's crazy because my husband and I got engaged 7 years ago on Christmas Eve. So apparently, all sides of the family just love holiday proposals, but I'm here for it. Over the years, I have seen many people, mainly women, to be frank here, make statements along the lines of, "I would not want my significant other to propose to me on a holiday like Christmas." At one point, I did have that same thought. It crossed my mind as well prior to years prior to getting engaged. But when it comes down to it, it honestly doesn't make the proposal any less special. And this could be a really poor comparison because I am not a mother, I have no children, therefore I have never made a pregnancy announcement, but announcing a pregnancy during Christmas doesn't make the moment any less special. So I fail to really see the dislike of the whole holiday proposal thing. In my opinion, it feels selfish in a way. Like, if you want to get married and you hope to be proposed to someday, the timing of that decision should be completely up to the person that is going to propose. And that's enough of my thoughts on that, I suppose. But overall, Tori, I am just beyond grateful, and that's putting it lightly, to be able to sit here today and share with our audiences that I am actually ending this year in a great place mentally, especially considering I've spent most of this year in a constant state of fight or flight mode. However, I just gotta say this. There is not going to be any new year, new me, or this is my year bullshit coming from me. I actually haven't had that said those things in a really long time, and you will never catch me saying anything like that in my life again. I probably said it for the very last time when I was a senior in high school. Maybe. You will also never catch me with a New Year's resolution, because I could publicly announce that I'm gonna quit vaping or something, and 2 months later, I'm still vaping, but even more than I was, and then have started smoking cigarettes on top of that and huffing paint. That's the way that it goes for me. I don't even think I want New Year's to happen anymore. Let's just recycle the past years that were actually good to us and add a remix to them, or even add a feature to the track.
I like it.
Like my feature would be Eminem.
Yeah.
And there is my Eminem reference for this episode. Wait, one more. This is a new update. I am now a Detroit Lions fan, and I think that the reason behind that speaks for itself. Now I am probably done.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I
You're
said
right.
probably. You
You're
can't
right.
hold me to it if I say probably.
You know, honestly, I love your updates on life because I get them in real time. So I know when they're actually happening. But I have ADHD and I don't remember it and I just need that recap. So I enjoy it. I'm like, "Oh yeah, that did happen. Now I remember." So I enjoy your little recaps. But I am so happy for your dad because I've always just viewed him as like a big teddy bear, a stubborn one, but a big teddy bear. So I am very happy for him in that aspect. But I also refuse the New Year's, like New Year, New Me, New Year's resolution. I don't like change. I feel like if you know me, I don't like change. I want to stay the same and do the same things and have a schedule, and I like it like that. So if I'm changing anything about the new year, it's me writing an itinerary for the entire 365 days of 2025 so that I don't have a panic attack about anything.
Valid, very
Yeah.
valid.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you love my updates recapped for you. When it comes to shooting the episode, it's all summarized and presented to you on a silver platter.
So nice.
And the whole, see, when it comes to the New Year's resolution or New Year, New Me thing, if you put that publicly, the amount of people that are going to be like, oh, what happened to this?
Yeah.
And I thought you said you were doing this. And who needs that? And honestly, I think if any year really taught us a damn good lesson on saying this is going to be my year, it was 2020.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I
That
learned my
was
lesson
everybody's fault.
before 2020, well before 2020, but now everybody else got the opportunity to learn that lesson.
We all learned it together. It was nice.
We're all in this together.
And now I'm going to be announcing that I'm leaving the podcast, actually.
Tori is resigning as of today. She gets no, what is that called? No severance check.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, because Tori and I dropped a ball bigger than the one dropped on New Year's Day at 12 a.m., this episode will not be available until both after Christmas and New Year's Day. The holiday season is triggering for people due to a multitude of reasons that include grieving the loss of those who are no longer with us, not having family or loved ones to be surrounded by, not having the means to provide the things that they want to provide for the people that they care most about in life, and being reminded on social media of all the things they wish they had but don't. If we haven't made this pretty clear by now, listen carefully. It is probably the people you least expect that are struggling the most during this time of year. We're not going to do a whole segment on this topic because that just feels as though we're putting it into this episode because of the timing and that we might feel obligated to do so. The truth is, we both have strong feelings about the importance of this topic. I just don't want to throw a segment together that can probably and will probably come off as a segment that we felt obligated to speak on. All I really want to say is how much I can relate to the holiday season being depressing when it comes to grieving those that are no longer with us, not being surrounded by the family you so badly wish you could be surrounded by during the holidays, not having the means to financially provide what you want to provide, and so on. Much more. For me personally, I don't just grieve the lives of family members whose lives were lost. I also grieve the physical presence of family members I've lost due to active addiction and amongst many other things. I lost my aunt on my mother's side, which would be the only sibling that my mother has, to her apartment complex being caught on fire 4 years ago. This holiday season is actually the first holiday season that my mother's side of the family has celebrated at all in the last 3 years. My grandparents, my mother, my sister all lived together and their house caught on fire and they lost absolutely everything in that fire. I don't know if it was a full year after the passing of my aunt due to a fire, but I just know it's been 3 years since that happened. The house has officially been rebuilt, but there are so many irreplaceable things gone forever, including the multitude of photo albums my grandmother kept that included photos of my aunt that is no longer with us. Christmas is and always has been my favorite holiday, but what I'm saying here is I get it. Tori and I both get it. We welcome you with open arms. Shoot us a DM on our podcast Instagram page or reach out to me on my personal Instagram page. I'm not going to welcome you to reach out to Tori on her personal platform pages simply because it's not my place to do so, and she will not respond to you as quickly as I will. She may not even respond at all. I'm her goddamn co-host. I have her digits, for Christ's sake, yet I sit here with my ass left on red all the goddamn time. She does mean well. She responds in her head more often than she will ever respond physically. I had to accept that a long time ago, and anybody that knows Tori personally has had to accept that too. But I am also a certified peer support certified peer support specialist. Tori's career is quite literally one of the most draining careers a person could have, on top of the fact that she is a mother and I am not. If you do reach out to me on my personal platforms, please do not anticipate a prompt response. I will respond when I am able, but if you are in a crisis situation, I must urge you to utilize crisis support resources.
You know, I gaslight myself into thinking I replied. I can't even lie about it. I'm like, yeah, I totally replied to that. I didn't.
Toxic.
I know I didn't. I'm toxic to myself. I can go days thinking that somebody's ignoring me when it was me. I, in fact, did not reply. And I know that that's my fault. I do, but I'm not going to change it. I'm just not going to, because it's just who I am. But my poor husband, he knows that I'm like really crazy. Like, hey, let me know when you get there. I need to know, because my first thought is he's dead. He died. He's lying in a ditch somewhere. And I'm the opposite. And I just like won't text him when I get somewhere. I'm awful. It's like, I forget I own a phone. Time is an illusion. Did I make it there? Your guess is as good as mine. He's always just like,
hopefully.
He's like, ah, I'm not really worried. I'm like, well, I am. And here I am. I can't even text you. But yeah, you can always reach out to me. I'm not going to respond in a timely manner. But
if at all.
If at all. Because there's a big chance that I open the message and one of my children ran in the house with a live creature, or my children have the zoomies, which, yes, my children, not my animals, my children.
I understand. I really do. And all I can do is just keep giving you shit for it, because yep. I'll get you to respond.
You will.
You will at some point respond to me. But mm-hmm. I know that when I see you read that message, that response isn't coming once you read it. You opened it and you started doing something else immediately. Mm-hmm. And while doing that something else, you were thinking of the response.
100%.
And you're like, as soon as I'm done with this, this is what I'm going to respond. And then boom, you thought you did it and you didn't.
Never did it. That's correct. Mm-hmm. The amount of what I have on my phone right now. 4, 5. Just 5. That's not bad. That's
no,
pretty good. That's
not
pretty
for
good.
You. Not that bad.
Yeah. Progress.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Another thing I need to speak publicly on record about that is something that has pissed me off for longer than I care to admit. Because in retrospect, it is literally not that serious.
Not, no.
Okay, so the Grinch, right? The movie that we all know and most of us love. And for those of you listening to this and not watching, I am drinking out of a Grinch cup and I am wearing Grinch pants. But even if you're watching, you can't see that part. So The Grinch has been my favorite Christmas movie, and it's up there on the list of top favorite movies without Christmas even being involved. And that has been that way for me for a long time before The Grinch suddenly blew up and became so popular. Like, I don't even know when that happened, but I'm telling you, I did it first, okay? I mean, it's nice to see that some people still know a good movie when they see one. I've seen memes that make statements along the lines of, "The Grinch never hated Christmas. He hated people." And I feel that. Again, along the lines of that statement, not word for word. I have seen this meme referencing that being shared on social media platforms for years. And it's bothered me because it is not true. I actually cannot believe nobody has put this together yet in this way. And I cannot sit around and watch this pure ignorance continue to happen any longer. The Grinch didn't hate Christmas, and he didn't hate people. He hated the way people acted during the days leading up to and through Christmas. He specifically points out numerous times throughout the movie that the Whos go completely overboard with the gifts, the decorations, the food, the parties, etc., and then specifically points out that the gifts always end up in the trash that is accumulated by him. When the Grinch stole Christmas and then waits for the Whos to wake up to see that he took everything from them, he was stunned to hear the Whos coming together to continue their celebration without all of the gifts, the decorations, and the big feasts. He stole Christmas to teach them that there's more to cherish about the holiday outside of all of those extravagant things, and more to cherish than getting crazy about gifts and parties, etc. Once he saw that the Whos were going to continue to celebrate Christmas with each other because they still had each other despite everything he stole from them, his whole outlook changed. Also, that point is made very clear in the movie when Cindy Lou Who finds herself losing her joy for Christmas, which is why she becomes so infatuated with the Grinch. Look up the lyrics to the song that she sang in the movie and tell me I'm wrong. I will not be wrong. There. I finally got that off my damn chest, and if at this point you're realizing you completely misunderstood the entire concept of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, yeah, you were an idiot. The good news is you can now live your life from this moment on with a proper understanding of the concept of that movie, and you no longer have to be an idiot just about that specifically.
I just kind of want to argue for fun.
I knew you were going to. I didn't even read your notes, but I knew that was coming from you.
I believe, personally, that the Grinch did not steal Christmas at all. And he didn't actually, like, hate it. He didn't want to do it. But he was just real tired. And the Whos were kind of loud, kind of rambunctious, like an upstairs neighbor. So he did it to quiet them down. And once he quieted them down, he was like, I guess this ain't all that bad.
Follow-up argument. He didn't quiet them down because he stood there and waited and waited, and he heard those MF and Whos singing their songs still.
You're right.
And
maybe the mastermind was Max. He just really wanted to pull a sleigh.
Yeah, he could have. I feel bad that he had to do that, but
I know, but he might have enjoyed it, mm-hmm. especially in the cartoon version. I don't know.
Yeah. The newest cartoon version, I ain't about that. Like, and the fact that when you look for things now, the Grinch items now, and you see the newest cartoon mm-hmm. version of the Grinch, that sickens me. Because remember where we came from, people. Come on. Don't forget where we came from here.
Yeah, I agree.
Good. Glad you ain't gonna argue that one.
Nope, I have zero arguments.
I'd have to knock you out like Jake Paul did to Mike Tyson.
Shiver me timbers.
Unstaged.
Yeah, completely.
Oh. Almost knocked over my Grinch cup.
After all that.
Yeah.
You desecrate it.
Disrespecting. So this has been a wild outline that I put together and did not carefully curate like I usually do. It's been all over the place. So this is really weird, but I'm going from a Grinch story that I felt was so absolutely necessary mm-hmm. to make sure everybody knew the actual point that they failed to understand before. And that movie came out in 2000, by the way, just so you know. It's been 24 years and people misunderstood the concept this entire time. Mm-hmm. So I went a lot of different directions here. We both did, but we are coming to the end of this episode, and I know that for the first time, I actually had some good news to share to end this year with and start a new year with, and I honestly didn't think that I was going to get to this point before the new year ended, or before the holiday season ended and the new year began, and I thought I was still going to be in the same boat, still living, praying for the universe to finally give me the direction that it was rerouting me to all along. I am thankful that I'm not in that place. But if you are somebody that is in a place where you're stuck and you've had a hell of a year, or even a hell of however many years, like I said, I had a hell of three, almost 4 years, and you are struggling finding the joy in anything right now, and you feel secluded, if all that you have managed to do this year is save your life, you accomplished one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. And that may not be the only time you're going to have to do that. We are grateful that you're still here, and we are so proud of you. And it may just sound so cliche to say those words, but I have been in a position where I have had to save my life multiple times. And I didn't do it for me. And people say quite often, do it for yourself, because your life matters and your life does matter. But I didn't do it for myself. I didn't save my life for myself. But I'm not discouraging you to look deep and figure out why you should save your life for yourself and nobody else. Again, we are so grateful that you're here. We hope you continue to be here. Your life matters. You deserve to be on this earth. And again, we are so proud of you. If you've survived another day at war with your brain, you are superior. We are wishing you nothing but peace in your mind, your soul, and another day of surviving until you can find your way of living.
And we will see all of you lunatics for episode 2 of season 3, eventually sometime in January.
I am so glad you said it that way, because I just got anxiety for a second.
You're welcome.
Oh God, can we do that? Can we really get on schedule now? I am currently going absolutely astronomically viral on Threads right now because of one late night post I posted last night with my late night snack. Listen to this.
What?
Listen to my posts. And
I get all your updates. I didn't see shit.
On Threads?
Yeah.
All I put, and this is valid, all I put was, dear Five Below, please retire the policy of which you require your employees to stop what they're doing to screen greet every customer that walks into the store. I require zero amount of acknowledgement when entering a shopping establishment. There is a 0% chance I ever want my existence acknowledged in public places. And that's just me rattling off. Like, it's not that serious and it's not that deep. You know what I mean?
But they're going to make it serious and deep.
But the fact that, like, when they're busy as hell and they still have to stop and yell at every customer that walks in the door.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good customer service. I understand the intent behind it being making sure that the customers know that they saw you walk in and attempt for theft protection. I understand that. But the people who have been saying it's their job, I literally said, retire the policy in which you require your employees to.
Yeah, you weren't saying
does that not
employees.
Is that not me saying I know that that's their goddamn job?
Yeah.
Or what? Dude, I am getting stupid. There is 2.8 thousand people that like it and agree with me, I'm assuming. However,
I just liked it for fun.
People are dragging me for this. Like, I woke up and I was like, I thought I clicked on somebody else's post and was reading comments of somebody else's post. And I'm looking, and I'm like, wait a minute. I just posted about this. Who who posted the same thing as me, and then I go and I'm like, oh my God, this has blown up. I said, guys, listen to me. This post is not that serious. It was a late night thought I had with my late night snack. It is so wild to accuse me of believing a huge corporation really gives a damn about what I have to say about their policies. I know it's a policy that was acknowledged when I made the post. I don't have to shop there. It's not that deep. It was just a post on social media, and I understand the intent behind it. It's the delivery I am referring to, and I know the employees don't love having to do it because people are like, you're not special, blah, 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 don't go there, stay, just shop online, everything you could possibly think of.
That's like, not even the point.
I don't know, as if I don't know that I don't have to shop there. That's not my point. I said, if I was rude to you in the replies, you held that door open for me. Everyone wants to act like the person making a post about something so obviously explainable is so delusional that they have to come save the day and set the record straight. I'm telling you, you don't need to be Mr. Smart Guy. Posts on social media shouldn't have to be broken down like a math problem just so people understand you're not an idiot, but it sure the hell seems like it does.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great reply. Yeah.
Not that serious. People are acting like I committed a hate crime.